Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610, and we begin with something that we've been watching all season. I feel like everybody has, because the Cleveland Browns are such a hilarious franchise. You were looking over there at why in the hell do they have four quarterbacks for a period of time. And now you're starting to see them work through it, because Joe Flacco has not been good early on in the season. Who could have foreseen that a man of his advanced age trying to play quarterback in this modern NFL might have a little bit of issues? I don't know. But with that being the case, they have decided that they will not have Joe Flacco start this week for them. It'll be Dylan Gabriel.
It's Dylan Gabriel time, baby.
It is Dylan Gabriel time. The third-round pick out of Oregon, obviously played at Oklahoma, which means I believe there's five quarterbacks in the league who have played at Oklahoma right now.
Quarterback you.
After they start somewhere else. Or no, actually, he started there. Mm-hmm. No, he started UCF. Like, he went from UCF to there. So, yeah, they like going and finding the quarterbacks in the transfer portal. But Dylan Gabriel will start. He starts on the road, and it's not just on the road. Mm-hmm. It is overseas. This is
in
an
another country.
Game.
Yeah,
this is an international game versus the Minnesota Vikings with the Brian Flores, one of the most difficult defenses to deal
and
with.
And they've stayed in Europe.
That's right.
Yeah, because they were there last week.
What the hell is Kevin Stefanski doing?
I don't know. It's throwing him to the wolves. Well, here's the other. I think this is the most important thing. That dude has not gotten a lot of reps. I mean, once the season starts, they are – it's scout team stuff. It's maybe two or three reps because they're so focused on the starters. Now, maybe Cleveland, you know, is different because they knew they would turn to him a little bit. But I wouldn't expect much of, you know, anything exotic or, you know, improvement or anything like that when it comes to Dylan Gabriel.
I feel like they kind of had no choice, man, because that offense was just so bad, man. Yeah. And the defense been playing good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the offense they just turning the ball over and all this other stuff, man. And Joe Flacco ain't it.
Meanwhile, Shadur is over there saying, I'm better than all y'all. And by all y'all, not just Cleveland.
Well, he remains in the same place, because yeah. Kevin Stefanski made a note that it'll be Dylan Gabriel's the starter. Joe Flacco will remain as number two, quarterback two. And Shador will also remain as the emergency quarterback. Obviously dressed out on game days, but only available if your first two quarterbacks go down.
And then Deshaun is out there saying, you seen my Instagram? I mean,
and the answer is no. But yeah, you're right, Fig, though, right? As much as I look at this and I go, this is not really a soft landing spot for him. They did need to make a change, because the Joe Flacco thing was just clearly
It's
not
one
working.
Thing if the whole team was just bad and you just maybe tanking for a quarterback next season.
Yeah.
But, man, they've been in most of the games pretty much. I mean,
their defense is outstanding.
They've been playing good, man.
Mm-hmm. But that's the conversation. That's been the way to kind of diagnose this for the last, what, three, four years? The defense constantly looks good.
They get the turnovers. They get to take everything. Mm-hmm. They just have no offense.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like
I don't even know if it's just the quarterback, to be honest. Yeah. They ain't got no receivers.
Yeah.
That is a fair question to ask. Yeah. However, when we say the quarterback, it is worth actually putting the numbers out here so you know. Completion percentage for Joe Flacco? Would you like to take a
what
guess?
What was it? I hadn't looked.
58% with a 2-touchdown-to-6-interception ratio.
Okay, well.
Yeah. And see, like I said, I don't want to blame just the quarterback on that, but, man, them receivers be dropping everything, man. Yeah. Like, they have no receivers.
And then they're running quarterback sneaks with Joe Flacco and all this other stuff that they're doing.
I mean, clearly that's what you do with Joe Flacco now, ain't it? Yeah. Right? With 40-year-old and damn near 41-year-old Joe Flacco, you run quarterback sneaks, 100%. So, Dylan Gabriel, vai con Dios is what I say to you, as you were going to see a lot of simulated blitzes and blitzes from all sorts of different places.
It's going to be ugly.
I'm kind of curious. I'm always curious with a left-handed quarterback, how they roll with the tackles.
Yeah.
So, is Cam Robinson playing left tackle still?
I imagine so, because if you've forgotten, Cam Robinson was traded. We found out about this Monday, right, that he was traded to the Browns. There was a late-round swap that happens for 2027 to allow him to go and play. I'd be interested. You could drop him in immediately and see him go, right?
I think that's part of the deal.
They struggling with the old line. They lost their left tackle for the year.
Yeah, I think that's part of the deal. Yeah,
so he ends up being, I mean, I think he'll still play left. Like, he doesn't play right.
I'm just curious how they switch him around like that.
Yeah. You know what's also
with it being the blind side.
I think that I'd be interested to see how the receivers react to it.
That's what I was going to say.
Receivers talk about, like, the...
It's different, man. You were a receiver.
Yeah, man.
Did you ever left-handed quarterback?
I'm trying to recall if I did. I think I did, but it was when I was really young. It didn't matter that much because we all weren't all that good, to be honest. But yeah, no, especially at this level, the way that ball comes in is different and it throws guys off. So you talk about receivers dropping balls. That might be something that happens there.
They put everything against him. They're putting everything against him.
But that, I feel like for that reason, they have to give him time, right? Like, they have to give him the opportunity. As much as I know Kevin Stefanski kind of is on the hot seat, weirdly enough, and I'm sure that that's part of this move, I think they have to understand that you give him time. It can't be now that you are, you know, doing some musical chairs, because Shador, like, it's not going to be Shador's time anytime soon.
No,
right?
I think you have to give him time, not just for that. Hell, they might be in the market for a quarterback again. They might be.
Yeah.
You know?
Good thing they only use a third and a fifth rounder.
I know.
Good thing they didn't use anything super major in that way. So, yeah, vai con Deus, 1-3 Browns will face off against the Vikings. Overseas, honestly,
in London,
they probably didn't have a great chance of winning this one anyways, maybe, but I imagine that 1-4 is a lot more possible. Yeah. A lot more.
They still got Carson Wentz starting for the
that's right,
it might be an ugly game.
Yeah, that's
to be
good
honest.
Point. I think today, obviously today ends up being a very interesting day all the way around on finding out what where a lot of people are injury wise.
Including here,
obviously, for what the Ravens are going on. And, yeah, that's another thing with the Dylan Gabriel. Hey, you want one fewer day because you're traveling internationally to be able to get yourself ready?
Yeah, poor Cam Robinson, he's sitting there. I thought I was going to be in Sugarland. Now I'm in London, you know?
Yeah, but London to play or Sugarland to sit? I feel like that's the big thing, the decision for him. You mentioned, actually, the Ravens because today will be a big day to find out, right? It's fair to note that all the reporting, the Baltimore Sun had it yesterday, and we talked about it quite a bit, was that Lamar Jackson is likely to miss next week and likely to miss 2 to 3 weeks to that end of time dealing with that hamstring injury. That's not certain. I imagine today will give us a little more certainty seeing the injury report. But when it comes to the Ravens, I found this interesting. I think this I want to know how you read this, because the Ravens yesterday, after our show was off the air, they signed Kenyon Green to their practice squad. And yes, indeed, that is the Kenyon Green that was previously that had been with the Texans last year, obviously was traded to the Eagles in a trade that brought you back CJ Gardner-Johnson, that is no longer here. How did you hear that when you saw it?
How did I hear it? With a giggle. And really kind of sad in a sense, because we all know, everybody has said, you know, the talent, you know, the body structure, et cetera. That guy's toxic now. I mean, he's just getting passed around. Somebody's trying to figure it out.
I think the sad part is, damn, this was a first-round pick, man. This was, I mean, I don't want to call it a lottery pick, you know, use NBA
in
terms.
In essence.
But, yeah, he what, 15th overall?
Yeah, yeah.
And you just getting passed around like that, practice squad and all that? It's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's some people that went, oh, because they're facing the Texans this week, is it possible that they brought him in to kind of siphon the information? Teams do this.
They do.
This is absolutely something that they do. Maybe, possibly, to get some more, what is some information on tendencies in, with, like, the offensive players, because he has no exposure to the system particularly. maybe some tendencies on the defense, but how much do
this
you need?
This is the game they're running over there.
Yeah, this defense is very evident, right, what they do.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a reach. I saw a couple of those, and I'm like, nah, I think this is just like they're just taking a flyer like other teams have taken, like the Eagles. And
I don't even think this is a flyer. I think they look up and they go, we are so beaten and battered, especially offensive line.
But you take a flyer like this guy's been bad, but he's a first-round pick. We'll see.
Yeah, I think that this actually speaks to how bad, down bad the Ravens are with their injuries, including with their offensive line. Like that is, or not even just injuries, because their offensive line was just bad. Mm-hmm. This isn't even particularly because of injuries, even though I know Ronnie Stanley is dealing with one. The offensive line has just been bad. So to the point where you go, well, let's bring in a Kenyon Green in case he could help us. That tells you a little something about what you're going up against this weekend in the Baltimore Ravens. In addition to it, speaking to the injuries, Eric Kendricks, the veteran linebacker who, I'm going to be honest, and this is kind of disrespectful, but it is what it is, washed. they brought him in for a workout. They offered him a spot on the practice squad, and he declined.
Like, nah, I'm good.
I didn't even know he was still in the league like that.
Well, he's kind of not. Yeah, he's kind of not.
He isn't. And that's like, again, that's kind of what they're dealing injury-wise. I know Roquan Smith, I imagine that's kind of the one-to-one there is Roquan's a middle linebacker. Eric Kendricks is a middle linebacker. Yeah, man, I understand that there's going to be people that are like, yeah, you don't get over your skis. The Ravens historically have been real tough on you. Derrick Henry of it all. I'm like, you've seen Cooper Rush last year where you got a 34-10 victory against the Cowboys. And look at what that defense is going through right now and injuries. That's kind of wild.
Let me ask you something here.
Yeah.
Just since we're talking about the Ravens, what are the odds? What's the percentage that the Steelers win that division?
It's very high. In fact, I wish I had known this was a question you were going to ask.
While you're looking at that, the Ravens face the Texans today in just an absolute mess health-wise. Then they play the Rams. The Ravens play the Texans beat up and then the Rams. The Steelers have the Browns at home and then they're bye. But then they have the Browns at home because the Browns are in London. So they have a bye, then the Browns at home, then the Bengals.
Is that good? Well, the Bengals.
The Steelers.
The Bengals can't block up three-man pass rushes, so that might not be as much of an issue. But, I think
the story is more about the Ravens.
Yeah, the Ravens have.
But what I'm saying is the Steelers are, 3-1? I believe they're 3-1. Ravens are 1-3.
Yeah.
Steelers going to mess around and win that division walking away.
Yeah, and that might, honestly, that might turn into an ugly division, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I know we always looked at that division as the strong division, but if Baltimore is not healthy, and you know the Bengals, it's over with for them.
Ravens are beat up, and then they have the Rams. They could easily be looking at 1-5. Steelers have a bye week, then the Browns and the Bengals.
Which I very much welcome because, look, as the Texans team sits at 1-3, obviously they have a great opportunity in front of them this weekend. I still am looking at a 3-1 Colts team that, you know, there's a lot of people looking around, and probably rightfully so, looking at that team as they're the cream of the AFC South right now. You're looking at wild card?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Ravens looking bad and having a tough schedule ahead of them. The Bengals having these injuries. That pushes more teams further away from the wild card spot that I think the Texans might need to pencil themselves into if they're trying to get in.
Not too early to start thinking about that.
Well, I looked at win totals. Remember that the Texans came into the season with win total, the over-under set at 9.5. It is now 6.5.
Oh, golly.
Right, like there is that level of disbelief in this Texans team, and you understand why.
Yeah.
But if you were looking at, we want to try and salvage what we have for the season, you're already starting to look at, okay, well, it might have to be in wild card. As an organization, they just got to one game at a time try and make themselves the best version of themselves. But, yeah, man, that's where you are, so... In some ways, happy to see that. Yep. Right? Like, happy to see that. I have to be a hater. It is what it is.
We'll see you Saturday at noon.
That's right. That's right. In Baltimore.
In Baltimore.
That's right.
Or Kansas City. They're 2-2.
They are 2-2.
Imagine a wild card game at Kansas City on Saturday at noon.
You were talking about the wild card. I was talking about this Sunday.
Yeah.
Kansas City, they're looking better. Mm-hmm. And the Chargers dropped in that game against the Giants. I was like, hey, y'all can't afford to play around. Y'all got a little bit of a head stop. Y'all better not stop.
I swear, if the Texans play the Chiefs in the wild card.
What a sick joke that would be. Some other things around the NFL. Mind you, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 5 matchup between these Houston Texans and the Baltimore Ravens. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You mentioned the Chiefs. Their defense coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, very, very well regarded in the league, calls a great defense, has been in the league for a very long time. And he took a little bit of aim at Pro Football Focus. This was a very interesting talking point that got the NFL world talking in a greater degree, because we all know, and we always do the caveat with the disclaimer with Pro Football Focus. It's you have to take it with a grain of salt. This is why I thought this was very interesting from Steve Spagnuolo talking about PFF.
What grades are you using?
PFF is what I'm looking at right now.
That's what everybody uses. The only thing, I Chris Collinsworth, I think he's a good dude and he's involved in that company. I don't know how you put a grade on somebody when you don't know actually what their assignment was or what they were being told. So I don't know. It's like from our standpoint, I thought Chris in this particular game had a real big effect on the game. They obviously found ways to double him, whether it was two linemen, the running back at times was chipping inside, which you don't see a lot, but that was the Chris Jones effect. A number of times that he didn't get there, but I think he forced the quick throw or step up. So, from my standpoint, I don't remember what Chris's actual grade was, but I know that at the end of the game, I thought the guys up front, Chris included, had a big effect on the way things went.
The thing about that is it's very insightful, but it's also something that I think most people logically, when they're looking at PFF grades, point out. You do, I do. We point out, like, when it comes to linemen, especially offensive and defenses, it's hard to know. It's hard to say that it's an absolute with the PFF grade. So I see both sides here.
Well, yeah, it ends up being an interesting kind of metric, but I think it is fair because this has now been the conversation that gets thrown back and forth for people that are more defensive of PFF, people are a little bit less or more critical of PFF. Is that I think it is fair to acknowledge that there are more laymen, and I'm not trying to talk down, but just trying to be real. Mm-hmm. There are people that are more laymen that have, jobs to do, and football is not going to be something that they drill down on, where if there is this shortcut that I can use to just be like, what does the grade say? Does that mean this person is good? Cool.
Yeah.
That can be misleading if you're not taking it as maybe like a portion of information that can help, as opposed to like a single grade that is a catch-all, which I think some people do. So I do catch that. I did find it interesting, though, because as Spags was talking about, like, it's hard to grade out, people if you don't know their analysis. I found this interesting from Brad Spielberger, who used to work for PFF, now works for the Players Association in the NFL. He tweeted this. He said, this was a pretty reasonable, perfectly reasonable. Not my concern anymore because it doesn't work anything.
Yeah.
But I'd love somebody to ask, so your grading of free agents is thus inherently flawed as well. And I hadn't considered that. It's like, doesn't that, as from internally with any organization, they also don't know the calls for other teams. I do wonder, like, how does that then go with the grading?
I think that's fair. I think that's very fair. But I also think they have a number of other ways.
Exactly. Right. It comes in tandem. But I found it interesting. That ended up being a big conversation. Football-wise, Pro Football Focus. And that's why we will continue to give our disclaimers if and when we use those. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I think that this year for your Houston Rockets clearly is going to be big, but I think it's going to be incredibly important for one Rocket in particular. I'll tell you who that is next on Sports Radio 610.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Big year coming for your Houston Rockets, the 2025-2026 season. We're in that month, by the way. It's October 1st.
It's October, brother.
Yeah, I haven't said that yet. It's October 1st, if you didn't know. Yeah. So I will take this opportunity to remind you, go ahead and pay that mortgage, pay that rent. If you haven't, like...
I forgot it was October because the Astros ain't in the playoffs.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's your typical marker. Yeah. It's like, oh, wow, yeah, we hit that.
It's postseason time now.
Yeah, now you just have to wait for the
postseason
leaves.
Baseball. Mm-hmm.
Now all you got is the leaves to turn to tell you. Before you could watch Astros baseball and you would know. So yeah, make sure that you get those in before that late fee kicks in. However, also this month is when we see the Houston Rockets get into it and they start that pursuit for the season because look, that's what it is. I mentioned it a couple of times. Jabari Smith Jr. is like championship. It's got to be the goal when you add Kevin Durant to what you're doing here. But I think that this year is going to be incredibly important, not just for the Rockets as a team, but for one Rocket in particular, John Lopez, 713-572-4610. I believe that Rocket is indeed Tari Eason.
Tari Eason, because, finish your point, because I actually do agree with you. For the most part, I have a question at the end here.
Okay, so there's a number of reasons why, but I think that one that you could start with is it's worth remembering that Tari Eason, we're coming to that time where, just like we were talking about with CJ to some degree, it's like you're needing to make that decision on what the extension looks like. And unlike CJ, where you're in quarterback situation where you know what the next contract is for the most part, it's pretty much standard practice to just continue moving the bar upwards. Tari gets a little difficult to figure out what the number would be and whether or not you actually want to do the number at what I think the argument would have to be. There's some discussions of Josh Giddey being some level of marker for you, having made $25 million per year, I think somewhere around that range. So you look at Josh Giddey, he has his warts as a player, but he's consistent. And then Tari Eason, who has been a very good player, but what's the big issue, John Lopez?
He can't stay healthy, or he can't stay on the court.
So I think that is going to be a big portion of it. And the health also matters in a different way, not just the pay. And I'll get to Zach Lowe, because I think that he had a very interesting thought on this. But also, his importance and role with this team has gotten bigger, just as Jabari Smith Jr.'s has, just as Amen Thompson's rightfully will. I think he moves from being, you know, part of the Terror Twins, but maybe like seventh, eighth man to now. He's bona fide, probably your sixth man, and in a very particular way, he has a skill set that's going to be important with you sizing up really big with all these guys getting all the size. Mm-hmm. When you get to the smaller end, he's one of the guys that, I mean, you threw at Steph Curry. That's going to be really important. For him to stay healthy for, but then also for him to continue to produce on.
Okay, so I totally agree. Now, here's the other kind of twist in it. You know, he can bring, you know, he can shoot, he can defend. We know that. Is he also maybe expendable? You know, because of the contract and the health and the need for whether it's point guard or whatever it is. Because keep this in mind, they're stacked at the wing position. They are absolutely stacked at the wing position.
All right, if you start looking at the wings, and I think that there might be two categories of wings, which is wings that you have here for the long haul and then wings that are probably for this early portion of trying to push towards things. You can separate him how you want to. Clearly, Amen Thompson fits in that, right, mm-hmm. with that length and that he brings. Dorian Finney-Smith comes in and jumps in there. Josh Okogie's more of a guard, but he mm-hmm. has a little bit of that. Tari mm-hmm. Eason, absolutely there. And then you get to places where you start having to ask questions because of the size. Kevin
he's
Durant.
A wing.
He counts as a wing?
He's a wing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. The 7-footer counts as a wing. Jabari Smith Jr., I do wonder how you view him because he is kind of a big, but he's more of a tweener.
Mm-hmm.
And I think oftentimes, especially with his shooting and with maybe more of the emphasis on him supposedly getting better with his dribble,
right,
leans towards being kind of a little bit of a wing in a weird way.
So what's that, 5?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just got me thinking because—
And I feel like I'm missing people, but yeah.
It's just such a big season for the Rockets, and you're stacked at that position, the rotation. He's talked about going real big. He's talked about, they have talked about, you know, just the minutes, the increased roles for Amen Thompson. Obviously, Jabari Smith is going to be crucial. Tari Eason is you say he's a tweener. He is in the rotation. He's so important, but is he expendable for the sake of a point guard or something like along those lines, you know, come December?
Oh, listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's interesting because... Maybe, right? Expendable might not be the word that I would use.
Oh, tradable, whatever.
He ends up being probably the best option that you would utilize for that. And so that actually makes the start of the season also interesting because if you do get to that place where the game plan coming out the gate of Amen Thompson and Reed Shepherd and obviously allowing Alperin and KD to initiate, if that doesn't quite go to your liking for the first two months of the season, do you then go, we will utilize Tari Eason and maybe some second round picks to see if we can go acquire somebody that you can get? Because as much as I think I really like what Tari can bring you as a player and obviously as an additional dude to guard some different positions, he does appeal widely.
His contract is appealing.
Yeah.
His game is appealing. Now the question becomes, is Emeka willing to part ways with a great defender like that?
I don't know. And I mean, obviously when you were trying to go get KD, he was one of those guys that you didn't want to give up. But obviously I think you didn't need to because of what KD exists as as a player who is really good but also was on a short term contract that you would need to renegotiate and is an older player. I wonder if that's a little bit different if you're looking for a point guard who honestly if you're trading for them, they might be a little bit more further in your plans. Going further.
Yeah, when the Van Vliet thing happened, you know, that's what I started thinking about. Like, okay, how are you going to mix this in with Reed Sheppard? We don't know. Amen Thompson, we know kind of, but it's a very particular skill set that he has, you know, distributing the ball. You really might just need that more than you think. Come late November, you realize it, you know, and early December. Could he be that? But to your point, your first point, he brings something to this team that just not a lot of guys can do. You know, able to go small if he needs to defensively.
Smaller.
Right,
like that's the thing.
Smaller.
You're still pretty big, but I think that I do wonder if that matters because, again, I mean, in any sport, zigging when others zag or trying to find a weakness that you can hit matters. And I know that in media day, they talked about, various people talked about how, oh, we can go big, we can go small. That small is relative, and I think that he ends up being one of the hinge points. Maybe you go, all right, well, we feel good about Josh Okogie to do some of those things. Yeah. I think I like Tari Easton a lot, and I want to go back to the contract portion of this because, again, I think that is a baseline. You can see Tari kind of – I don't think he's restless for a contract, but you can see he's restless for the opportunities to do things, as evidenced by him being upset but not being appreciated in the ESPN Top 100. This is Zach Lowe, who, mind you, big Tari Easton fan on his podcast. This is a clip of him – trying to work through whether or not he would be willing to do a Tari Easton extension at this point.
I'm president of the Tari Easton fan club. The guy has magnet hands. The ball just finds his hands. Like, if there's a scrum for the ball, Tari Easton's getting it. The three-pointer's been okay, 34.5% for his career. He's a bully, gets offensive rebounds, defends like all hell, terror twin number two, the whole thing. Has played 79 games combined the last two seasons after 82 as a rookie with some leg injuries. I guess I'm going to flip a coin here and go yes. I'm nervous about it. I'm going to go yes. I just think, again, given the injuries and the fact that the Rockets like him, I can see this coming in low 20s and everyone in the end being okay with that. I'm going to go yes. I don't feel good, Fred. I don't feel good.
He's flipping a coin, dude.
I mean, that's why I think that this season is very important, right? Yeah. There's a level of, we need you for this team. But there's also a level of you got to prove it. And I don't even think it's prove it in so much as the Rockets don't believe it. It's just confirm what we believe.
Yeah. And you know, the shooting matters. You know, that's one of the sticking points. Now, his three-point shooting, I'll take 34%, you know, from him. No question about it. But his other intangibles are good enough for this team, but he's got to stay on the court. I mean, it's as easy as that.
And also, I think that Tari might actually have some offensive presence in what you're trying to do here.
I totally agree.
In a team that you're trying to figure out what your offense looks like. This is what Tari said himself during media day about what offensive role he expects coming into the season.
I do want a more elevated role, and I think you'll see that with just my improvements in my game. I'm just going to let my game do the talking as far as that.
Yeah, well, I like the deep voice.
Yeah, it sounded like it almost sounded like he was trying to do an Ime Udoka at the beginning of that.
Yes, I do want a more elevated role, and I think you'll.
That's impressive.
Honestly, listening to the media day, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I'm gonna have to make sure that I turn my volume up really high on everything whenever Ime's talking because it's so hard to hear him. But he's expecting an expanded role, and I think that he has to demonstrate that capability of handling that expanded role first and foremost by being on the court, but then also making sure that. That 34%, it's good. I'm okay with you doing that.
Yeah,
it needs to tick up, though.
It does.
Give me to 35, 36 so that you are a threat on the court. Because I know that he does a great job of like going and rebounding, doing those types of things. The hustle is there. But hustle is great when you're like eighth man. When you're starting to get into sixth man and people are leaning on you a little bit more, especially in big minutes, I want you to be a little more consistent.
I mean, the perfect world. Well, he is. He absolutely is the first man off the bench. He's the sixth man,
unless it's like Reed coming off the
unless
bench.
Unless the rotation is funky, you know, and then Sheppard comes off the bench or something like that. It's a very interesting first month and a half of the season for Tari Easton.
100%.
Yeah, because I think he could be traded if you have problems as much because the Van Vliet and the point guard issues. as what you know how he fits in it with all these wings.
Yeah. So I think that this is going to be a big year for Tari Eason in particular. Mm-hmm. As he's trying to find what that role is as he continues forward. But then also he becomes a little bit more of somebody that they depend on, a guy that fits in what Ime Udoka wants and what he does, and that continuity that you're trying to bring on into another season. So excited to see what it looks like as we are headed into preseason basketball. I think preseason basketball itself will tell us some things as well before we get to opening night later on this month. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping. There was a lot of wild card baseball. There was also a little bit of interesting player and league battles that happened when it came to basketball, but women's basketball, I want to talk about that more next. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. By the way, I didn't make this note. It's a Wednesday, which means in the 12 o'clock hour, we have a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop that will be given away as we do on Wednesday. So appreciate you rocking with us for that. Postseason baseball going on without the Astros, but we got some really good baseball. Like I do.
It really was.
I am interested.
Yeah. Who cares?
I am interested. Are people.
I'm not watching the postseason.
Are people able to enjoy this or are people just out on it? Because game one of the wild card series, I'm pretty sure all four of these games had some level of interest and mm-hmm. intrigue to them. Starting off with game one, which is probably one of the ones that was the most frustrating to watch, considering that both of these teams were the final final bouncers for mm-hmm. the Astros when it came to getting into the postseason.
Yeah.
But Tigers Guardians had a dealing Tarek Skubal on the mound. I think I said earlier that he didn't win. Yeah. I think I was just mixing up a couple of games. I don't know what happened.
Had a stroke, Figgy.
It's quite possible. but he did win. He did, in fact, win. Yeah. Just absolutely dealing. I mean, there was one, because it started at noon, we were watching it here in the studio, mm-hmm. and there's one at bat where it's just like 100 at the top of the zone, 100 up and in, 90 on a curveball that's mm-hmm. just unhittable. And I'm like, this dude is mean with what he's doing right now.
I think he broke a record, didn't he? Most strikeouts since Roger Clemens or something.
In the first whatever innings, I think it was six innings, whatever. Well, yeah, but I looked up to start starting the fourth inning, and he had 32 pitches. Yeah. I was like, holy smokes. That's what you call dealing.
Career high 14 strikeouts in that one.
Yeah.
Just a sick performance there. And, I mean, there was still more to come because I know that you had a big night with this one, Lopez, as you are indeed a Dodgers fan.
Oh, God.
Shohei Ohtani went berserk.
Absolutely. The start of that game?
It was a home run derby.
It was 5-0 before you could blink.
Once it hit five, I think I stayed up to 6-0. And I'm like, yep, I'm out. I'm headed for the exit.
Headed for the exit. I got to beat the traffic.
Beat the traffic.
Yeah, but Dodgers trying to go back-to-back, man, and looking like they can dial it up whenever they're ready. They're facing a Reds team that is inspired, but they're not of the same caliber. They don't have a 15-game winner.
I don't think I realized that.
They don't have a 15-game winner in their rotation. I mean, they're good. They're scrappy, and of course that's always a backhanded compliment. And in this case, I really mean it.
But this is the Dodgers, man.
And the Dodgers are just killing them.
Yeah.
What a way to start.
So there was that. But then also, we can all at least enjoy a little schadenfreude looking at the New York Yankees losing to the Red Sox in just dramatic fashion. First and foremost, they got Max Fried on the mound. We were talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. Dealing for 6 1/3, then pulled without really any danger. After mm-hmm. throwing 102 pitchers, and that's where it goes off the rails. They go down 3-1. Bottom of the ninth, they have an opportunity to try.
Oh, my gosh. We didn't even mention that.
They had an opportunity to try and get after this. In fact, they load the bases, no outs, which sets up one of my favorite stupid stats in all sports. It's the Noble Tiger. It is when you end up in an inning, bases loaded, no outs, and you're unable to get a damn run across. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they did. In fact, a little bit of statistics for you. Yankees are the first team in MLB postseason history to have the bases loaded with nobody out in the bottom of the ninth and not score.
I always want to see who looks these things up.
That's
first
right.
of all,
OptiStats, by the way, is who looked that one up, not me.
I said it earlier. I really do believe this. If the Yankees, hell, even if they happen to win this series and lose the next in embarrassing fashion, but I'm not so sure they're going to win. If they lose this series, Aaron Boone finally will get fired. It was that bad of a tipping point, straw that broke your back, or the camel's back, et cetera, simply because not just the Max Fried thing. You bring in Luke Walker, who, by the way, they brought in Luke Walker with when Max Fried is dealing it only, I say only because you got to go at this point, and we were talking about that earlier, with a 5.6 ERA in his last 14 starts.
What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong?
You got a 1-0 lead. What do you need?
Yeah. Then you put Jazz Chisholm on the bench, who is, you know, well, because of analytics. Okay, analytics had a very bad night. Because they used him against left-handers. What was the number? I think 26 out of 29.
26 out of 27. You were right. Yeah, actually, I went and double-checked it.
Yeah, times against lefties. But this is the time you decide, Aaron Boone, to sit him, even though he had, you know, he was a 30 and 30 guy.
Also, he could be a little mercurial as a personality. Is it possible they lost him for the?
Well, who knows? Maybe. I think that's fair. And then you get to the ninth inning. It's like, okay, despite it all, still have a chance to win it. Bases loaded, nobody out. Piece of cake, right? At least you scratch out a run. Nope.
And they was facing Chapman too.
And oh somebody, yes.
I knew he was about to he blow was
ready.
The game.
He was ready to give it up.
I knew he was about to blow the game. Yes. I'm like, this is familiar territory for him.
It was a bleep show for the Yankees.
He got out of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only one of the games in a wild card series.
But it's a 3-game series.
It's a 3-game series. So I will hold off on saying Yankees come sit next to us. But no, I got it locked. It is ready. Some other things around that are popping. I'm interested. How does this hit you? Mm-hmm. Apparently, Martin Maldonado on his Instagram account posted an image of his Padres hat with a caption of "Last Ride." It does seem like Martin Maldonado is hanging up his season or his career, or hanging up the cleats after this season.
Could Martin Maldonado manage the Astros?
Is this a joke? Or are you for real right now? Because I can't tell.
Who's the owner?
Okay, so he's not joking. All right. Very good. Thank you for that.
Either that or he going to go to San Francisco where Dusty's still in the front office.
Oh, that's his guy.
Yeah.
There you go. That's him, right?
That's his guy.
That's where it is.
Yeah. No, look, we know that he was a frustrating player to watch offensively, incredibly frustrating. The way that they were just so, you know, determined to play him hell or high water.
Yeah, Yiner Diaz right there.
It was frustrating. Well, I don't know about that.
Well, at the time.
Yeah. But despite it all, I mean, just an incredible career.
Without question.
But, you know, incredible defensive player.
Well-respected.
Well-respected. Handled the pitchers better than, you know, most could ever imagine behind the plate in Major League Baseball. So, yeah, no, it didn't hit me any like, you know, finally or, you know, anything like that. No, he deserves all the accolades he gets. Absolutely.
Yeah, salute to Martin. Yeah. By the way, if you're wondering who looks up this stat, the answer is Patrick Creighton. Shout out to Area 45. Mm-hmm. No team to lose game one in a wild card round, best of three, has ever won game two. They're 0-12. So
there you go.
Maybe he's saying that I should tell him to come sit next to me. I'll hold off until tomorrow. We'll be on tomorrow. Some other things that are popping. The Astros, while they are, you know, obviously not playing postseason baseball, it doesn't mean that they're not getting better in a very particular way, because the Astros apparently are going to upgrade Daikin Ballpark or Daikin Park. There's apparently a few ways. They're putting in $2.4 million into a renovation. And I believe the project, if memory serves, they're going to reconfigure a kitchen and dishwashing room, or whatever. New team store, interestingly. Updated finishings, lighting. But I think the thing that'll matter the most, air handling unit and VAV box replacements, which are both HVAC things that hopefully make it more amenable to people to feel good when they're in Daikin Park, which go
Thank
ahead and do that.
God, that is frustrating when you go to these games and it's an air conditioning company. It's an HVAC company.
Yes.
And the AC doesn't work. Irony much? I mean, look, that's...
I feel like that's why they were like, hey, we got to make sure this gets fixed, man.
Yeah, that's... Anything else you wish you... not involved here?
Ooh.
That you wish they could do? 713-572.
Like an upgrade on the stadium?
Yeah, what would you like changed at Daikin Park?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think off the top. I don't think I... And I also haven't been to Daikin enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm only just starting to get out to Daikin more often. I've always been kind of more of a TV guy myself. So, like, getting out to the park more, I need to experience more things and make those decisions. But I'd be interested on what our frequent Daikin Park visitors on the text line would have to say there. Real quick, I did want to get to this because I found this to be very fascinating. I know not everybody's intrigued by women's basketball, but I think the banter back and forth between a league and their players.
Right. It's not about the WNBA.
Super interesting. Yeah. As Nafisa Collier, who is a MVP finalist, like she's up there in play. Most importantly, she's also high up ranking in the WNBPA, the Players Association, and She is the head of not quite a competitor league, but a side saddle league called Unrivaled, mm-hmm. where players are basically was founded to help players remain in the United States and play instead of having to go overseas in the offseason.
Yeah.
She went scorched earth on Kathy Engelbert, who is the commissioner of the WNBA. Listen to some, I mean, it was like a 4.5 minute reading of a statement here. This is just a subsection, but this is her quoting some of the things that the commissioner of the league said to her about the league. It's really incendiary stuff.
At Unrivaled this past February, I sat across from Kathy and asked how she planned to address the officiating issues in our league. Her response was, well, only the losers complain about the refs. I also asked how she planned to fix the fact that players like Caitlin, Angel, and Paige, who are clearly driving massive revenue for the league, are making so little for their first 4 years. Her response was, Caitlin should be grateful she makes $60 million off the court, because without the platform that the WNBA gives her, she wouldn't make anything. And in that same conversation, she told me, players should be on their knees thanking their lucky stars for the media rights deal that I got them.
Man, the scorched earth is exactly the right term in this case. And I don't see any flaw in what she said at all.
The only thing I wonder is like kind of the betraying of trust of like relaying things that are said in those confines. Because I do wonder how many things that if...
Well, she like, chose to do it.
But, if the labor negotiations happen, like, or like when labor negotiations happen, that if we hear that we go, oh, that changes it. However, these are things that there's no way you should say. First and foremost, Caitlin Clark signed a $26 million deal with Nike before she stepped on the league.
Yeah, step foot on a WNBA court. And she admirably said, I don't care, you know, that I'm going to say these things. They need to be said. And sometimes that's the right thing to do. I totally agree with her. The WNBA has been just dumb and killing itself for years. The other thing I thought of, and it wasn't unique to me, I saw some people tweeting about it. Like, this is a prime opportunity to just start an actual rival league, an actual WNBA league. Throw some money at some of these stars. Everybody else will follow. This isn't like the NFL where every competitive league is going to fail. No, no. They are primed to be had. The WNBA is primed to be had.
If you get a couple billionaires to kind of get in on it.
They're primed to be had.
Well, that's kind of wild. And for me, because, you know, I am somebody who enjoys women's basketball. I know not everybody does. That's fine. It's your prerogative. But I think the people that have kind of levied some, you know, well, the WNBA doesn't make money. I think that you also need to consider there's been a lot of poor management.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kathy Engelbert saying that the league players should be excited and, you know, bowing before her for the media rights deal that she got. There's a lot of people that look at that media rights deal and think that it's not sufficient by any way, shape, or form.
Yes.
And that, I mean, as we know, in the modern iteration of sports, it's your TV deals that create those inflations in salary and wages and stuff. If you get under what you should get on media deals, you're stifling wages for your players.
Mm-hmm.
And so this looks really bad on Kathy Engelbert. And it's probably one of those things that I think people should take a little bit more of a consideration into when they talk about the WNBA and what they're doing is that as much as you could say anything about the product, it also has to be handled with care. And it feels like right now, very clearly, I think for someone who is watching, but also just hearing what your commissioner is willing to say about your players, that's not happening there.
No, and I think that, you know, as much as the WNBA may not have had, you know, the means to make money, it does now. It really does. And it's not just Caitlin Clark. There are a lot of players that are really in the public eye, public focus, that have a buzz, have that Q rating, so to speak.
Yeah, I thought that was a very, very, very interesting thing. That's not going to be a one-time fallout. There's going to be a lot more on this. I'm going to be watching it closely. And I don't know. I guess I should mention, I don't think that I want to tie it into what we just talking about. Apparently, October is also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I always forget that. Mm-hmm. So, go ahead and get that checked. Yeah, wear your pinks for all the guys out there. And make sure that the woman in your life goes and gets checked. That's always something that you want to make sure, because bleep cancer. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we've been celebrating to some degree the first win of the season for the Texans over the Titans. And we've talked about this as possibly a turning point. Could we be looking at the turning point thing just a little wrong? 713-572-4610 is the number to text. We'll talk about that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.